This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, it's nice to be here this evening for your annual gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our iman and our children's iman. Currently, if you've been following the news, as a Muslim, for many people it's a very worrying time. Constantly in the media for the last several months there's been problems, whether that's been somebody shooting somebody else in the name of Islam, whether it means the government passing different laws and bills for what we would assume to be anti-Islamic or Islamophobic, many Muslims are feeling very vulnerable. So, when you feel that way, it's important for us to understand that as Muslims, there's never a bad situation. We always have to act proactively, and we always have to have our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today what I want to mention is what kind of approach should we have in this time and age. Because Muslims, it's very important for Muslims to be the ones who have the answers. Muslims, we say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us everything. So if we are undergoing a situation right now, when we feel that everybody is against us, people are doing bad things in our name, governments are making bad policies that we think is going to affect us very negatively, and so on and so forth. So what does that mean that we must do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. What an astonishing state it is for the believer. The believer has a very astonishing state, because anything, any matter that the believer confronts, any issue that happens, anything that happens to us, there's always, you can turn it into goodness. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if some calamity overcomes a believer and he has patience, he perseveres, he knows the way to deal with it, keeps his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what patience is. Patience is not giving up. Patience is to understand that Allah wants me to be able to bear this, to learn from this, and to not complain. Then this will be good for him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the other hand, if a person is prosperous, if he's not in affliction, but good things are happening, mashallah, then even that is good, because if the person makes shukr, فَشَكَرَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, then if he is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is good for him as well. So clearly this is a time for us both to make shukr and to make sabr. The reason is that still, compared to many parts of the world, many countries in the world, and in fact many countries in the West or Europe, England still fares better. Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of freedom to do this. If we wanted to do this same program in a particular Muslim countries, we would have to have taken licenses and permits from months in advance to have the permission to gather like this. We just keep a program here and we do it. We don't have to ask anybody. There's a lot of freedoms, alhamdulillah, that we have here. However, they are passing security bills. Throughout Europe, there is a lot of Islamophobia. There is a lot of people who are saying Muslims are like this and Muslims are like that. And there are many surveys and statistics that are coming up in this regard. What I want to do today is I want to mention a number of hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about us. He spoke about people not of his time. He spoke about people that were going to come. When I read these ahadith are about the barakah to hadhihi al-ummah, the blessing of this ummah, the fact that we are in this ummah, regardless that we've come 1400 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered us before he departed this world, and he mentioned a number of things about us. And this is the most amazing thing. There's a hadith that is related by Imam Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innama ajalukum, إنما أجلكم في أجل من خلا من الأمم ما بين صلاة العصر إلى مغرب الشمس. He said that the example of your time, the example of the time of this ummah in comparison to the previous nations that we've had before us, is just like the time between Asr and Maghrib. In a daytime, in the day, in a normal situation, the time between Asr to Maghrib is the shortest time, especially if you go with the later Hanafi time. I know you guys, most of you are Shafi, right? So Shafis have a slightly earlier Asr time. But still, from Fajr to Dhuhr is a very long time, especially if you look in summer. From Dhuhr to Asr is again very long. But from Asr to Maghrib is shorter. So he said that your time among the people, in comparison to the people of the past, is just like from Asr to Maghrib. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave an example. He said, وَإِنَّمَا مَثَلُكُمْ وَمَثَلُ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى كَرَجُلٍ اسْتَعْمَلَ عُمَّالًا. Your example is like a person, an individual who wants people to work for him on a building site, on a construction site. He wants people to come and work for him. So he goes at Fajr time and he says, who will work for me from Fajr, from now until Dhuhr time, for this many hours? And I'll give them each one measure. I'll give them one measure of payment. Right? I'll give them one measure of payment. Qiratun, qiratun. It's an Arabic measure. So the Yahud said, we will work from Fajr to Dhuhr. And they came, they worked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each of them qiratun, qirat. One measure, one measure. Then he announced again. This laborer announces again, from Dhuhr to Asr, who will work for me? They will also get one qirat, one qirat. The Nasara, the Nazarenes, the Christians, they came and they said, we will work from this time to this time. So they worked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their reward. So this is an example of an example that the Prophet ﷺ is providing. Then he said, who will work for me from Asr to Maghrib, which is the last part of the day? But I will give them two qirat each. I'll give them two measures each. So the Muslimin, the believers, Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ said, we will work for this time. So they worked for the shorter time, but at the end of their time, they were given two qirat each. Now the other two groups, they came along and they said, why is it that we worked for longer hours? They worked for shorter hours. We were given one, they were given two. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَلْ ظَلَمْتُمْ مِنْ حَقِّكُمْ شَيْئًا. Have I oppressed you in any way? Have I not given you your due right? What I promised you, didn't I give that to you? They said, yes, you did. So he said, then whatever I give to anybody else is my grace. I can give to whomever I wish. So this is just an example of us coming as the final nation, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having promised us greater rewards. This is for the entire ummah until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. O people who believe, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believe in His Messenger. وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ, believe in His Messenger. True belief, by observing the prophetic way, by fulfilling the prophetic sunnah, by following His guidance, by exemplifying His character, by embodying His behavior. This is exactly what is required of us for us to benefit from this Quranic verse. So Allah says, O people who believe, have taqwa, believe in the Messenger, and Allah yu'tikum kiflayni min rahmatihi, Allah will give you two loads of His mercy. Kiflayn in Arabic is, when you see a donkey in certain third world countries, you'll normally see that when a donkey carries a load, they'll normally have two bags, two huge bags on both sides being attached in the middle. And on both sides, they will put lots of weight, whatever they want to carry, whatever it may be. So if you have only one side, it'll be lopsided, it'll drop off. So they have to put equal weight on both sides. That's what you call kiflayn. So He'll give you two loads of mercy. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. If we follow the Messenger and we have taqwa, there's no doubt that the mercy will shine upon us. Allah's rivers of mercy are constantly flowing. If He gives us even one drop from them, subhanallah, that is sufficient. And Allah has so much mercy. He's only caused 1% of His mercy to descend in the world. And anybody you see acting mercifully in the world all over, from the beginning of time to the end of time, that amounts only to 1% of Allah's mercy. You see, mothers, how merciful they are. They are the greatest examples of mercy when it comes to their children. They'll be willing to do anything for their children. Their merciful state, the merciful nature, how you see mothers act with their children, that's a state of mercy. Now you see all of the mercy of the world, every mother in the world to have ever lived in this world, to come together. Anybody else that shows mercy, that amounts only to 1% of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has 99% of mercy that He has not yet expended. But we want His mercy, and Allah says, we'll give you 2 loads of mercy. The next hadith is related by Imam Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, again, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembering us 1400 years ago about the people of his ummah that were still going to come. He said, "Inna min ashaddi ummati li hubban nasun yakununa ba'di yawaddu ahaduhum law ra'ani bi ahlihi wa malihi." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most intensely in love, the people who love me most intensely out of my ummah are people who will come after me. People who will come after me. Each one of them would be willing to sacrifice their wealth and families if they could see me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking ahead of people who are still going to come, not the Sahaba. The Sahaba have a very high status already. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people who are most intense, with most intense love for me, are people who will come after me. They're willing to sacrifice. And today you see that situation. People who have the true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their heart, they do everything. Because you can only do things, you can only copy someone, emulate someone, practice in their footsteps, and love them if you have love for them. It's the only reason you can have this. There's another hadith which is related by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim from Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "La yazalu min ummati ummatun qa'imatun bi amrillah." There will always remain from my ummah a group of people who will always be upholding the matter of Allah, who will always have the true religion with them and will be doing the right thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ. Those who forsake them, who abandon them, that will not bother them in the least. They will not harm them at all, because their faith is so strong. وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ. Or anybody who opposes them, it will not change them in the least. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Until the matter of Allah will come, or the matter of Allah will be decreed, and they will be in that situation. Whether that means their death will come upon them, or whether that means the day of judgment will come about, or whether the matter that Allah has decreed will be completed. Lots of groups today around the world, they claim to use this hadith for themselves. This hadith is definitely ambiguous as to who it's relating to. There's no doubt that many people can abuse this hadith and use it to say our way is the right thing. But what you have to realize is that only that group can claim to be following this hadith who also fulfill every other aspect of the religion. If you have groups who say this hadith is for them, but the main people they are fighting with are other Muslimin, and they're killing other Muslims. Ashidda'u, instead of being ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum, they're the opposite, they're ashidda'u ala al-kuffar, ashidda'u ala al-muslimin, that they are harsh against other Muslims. They kill them for nothing, just because they follow a different path. Then how can they be this group? One has to understand that for a person to be fully on the path, he has to fulfill everything, not just one aspect of the faith. But for any of us to want to have the loads of mercy, and for special rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to have to get closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith is related by Imam Tirmidhi from Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, again another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving glad tidings, optimism, and hope for people even after the Sahaba. When we look at the time of the Sahaba, we think, mashallah, they've taken huge amounts of reward with them. They have accomplished great, great, great things in this world. But it doesn't mean that we cannot also gain high status as well. Not as high as the Sahaba maybe, for sure. But it, at least in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can also hope for Jannatul Firdaus in the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ أُمَّتِي مَثَلُ الْمَطَرُ. The example and the parable of my ummah is like the rain. When it rains for 2 hours, do you know which part of the rain caused the crops to grow? The first part, the second part, or the final part? Which part of the rain brought the barakah, brought the nourishment? Only Allah knows. And he says, like that, my ummah is like the rain. My ummah is like the rain, لا يدرى أوله خير أم آخره. Whether it's the beginning part of it is good or that last part. He's giving optimism here. That subhanAllah, you could come wherever you want, any time in history. But it depends on how you act, how you behave and how you approach things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide goodness in you. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one hadith that really, really is of great benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Saddidu wa qaribu. Hadith in Bukhari. Saddidu wa qaribu. In another version it says, Saddidu wa abshiru. Saddidu means hit the mark. Wa qaribu means get close. Our entire life, our perspective, our ambitions, our dreams and desires, our plans need to be in the right direction. If our focus is that one day we are going to die, we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world. We want to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to make sure we're trying the right thing. Then we're hitting the mark. If we make a mistake then, and Allah knows we'll make mistakes. This is how He's created us weak. He knows we'll make mistakes. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uqaribu, or get close. And then he said, Wa abshiru, and accept the glad tidings. You do what you have to do. Just try to aim in the right direction. Don't aim in the wrong direction. Your whole dream of your life should not be for anything other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannatul Firdaus. Then everything in our life will, if that's our desire, then everything in our life will come close to that. If we're aiming in the wrong direction, if our entire ambition in our life is just something worldly, we're aiming in the wrong directions and not in the right direction. We're not even getting close. Once that perspective is in mind, believe me, everything in this life becomes easy. Many people, shaitan deceives them by making them think that if you become righteous, if you start becoming a better worshipper, life suddenly becomes boring. Life suddenly becomes dull and dry. Believe me, it doesn't. Ask all of those people who practice. Ask those people who practice, their life is not boring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides great, great, great amounts of pleasure, faith, and the mercy that you get is amazing. Once I was in this shop, which was selling a Muslim person who had a Muslim video shop and some Muslim books. And this was in America when I used to live there. And he was selling some Diwali cards. And I said, brother, this is shirk, you don't need to do this. And this is what he told me. He said, if you want to live in this country and be successful, you're going to have to do this. He wasn't even born in that country. He came from Pakistan. I was born in the West. And I'm telling him that you don't know what you're speaking about. You don't have to do these things to be successful. This is a choice you're making. This is the shaitan making you do this. I was born in the West. Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us, feeds us, provides us sufficiently without having to, inshallah, commit these kinds of harams. So you don't have to do that. But this is the deception. Literally, this is what he told me. He said, if you want to be successful and you want to be in this country, then this is the kind of stuff you're going to have to do. And we know that's not true. But this is how shaitan does things. Now, we may not be doing shirk. We may not be selling shirk. But we may be doing on minor levels other things which we think is necessary. You know, cheating the system. There's many things that we may be doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We don't need to. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will find an opening for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. This is the most beautiful one. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will provide him from a direction he never thought about. I've seen many cases like this. Allah just wants us to do that sabr. He wants to see us struggle a bit. And then He opens up. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every difficulty there comes ease. With every difficulty there comes ease. In fact, one hadith says that never will you have two difficulties without an ease. The ease has to come. But Allah just wants to see how we go. There's a student who was from Morocco. He moved to California afterwards, but he was in Texas before. He was studying and he had a small amount of money that his father would send. Fees were expensive. On one occasion, he was out of money. Now he had to get a job. The only job he could find was a job in a gas station, a petrol station. But it sold wine. And that's why he didn't want to work there. Everybody around him, even the person who was guiding the Muslim Islamic society at university, said, look, you're in a state, you don't have any money, this is halal for you, this job. But he had taqwa. And he said no. And he just stayed hungry for a few more days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him a job at the university, which then paid his fees and gave him money on top. If he had taken that petrol station job, it would have been maybe just enough to cover his fees. He would have still needed some more money. You just wait a few more days for the sake of Allah, and Allah provides. But this is the mercy on this ummah. This is the way to attract this mercy on this ummah. Then the next hadith I want to mention is Imam Bayhaqi relates this in his Shu'abul Iman from Amr ibn Shu'ayb, from his father and from his grandfather. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting with his companions. And he said to his companions, أَيُّ الْخَلْقِ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ إِيمَانًا. Which type of creation? Who do you think is, whose iman is most astonishing? Whose belief is most astonishing? Like, why would somebody believe? The reason for their belief is so astonishing. So the Sahaba, they replied, Al-Malaika, the angels. And the Prophet ﷺ said, why should their faith be astonishing when they are by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're seeing huge miracles and the source of things happening each day in the heavens. Their iman is not astonishing. They must believe. So then they said, the prophets, the Prophet ﷺ said, why? وَلِمَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Why should they not believe? When they are having special revelation come to them, they're seeing angels. They should definitely believe, because for them it's easy to believe. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَعْجَبَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيَّ إِيمَانًا. Those people who have the most astonishing faith is لَقَوْمٌ يَكُونُونَ بَعْدِي. Again, a group that will come after me. يَجِدُونَ الصُّحُفًا. Fiha kitabun. They will find scriptures in which there will be the written book. They will find in which will be the message for them, the Quran. Yu'minuna bima fiha, and they will believe in that. Believers in the unseen. Believers in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left behind for us, the Quran. This is what you and I believe in. We haven't seen the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we believe in this. And we have strong faith. People have strong faith today. So the Prophet ﷺ said, their iman is more astonishing than anybody else's iman. Then there's another hadith that's again related by Imam Bayhaqi from Abdul Rahman ibn al-Hadrami. He says that one of those... So he did not hear this directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that somebody who heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innahu sayakunu fi akhir hadhihi al-ummati qawmun lahum mithlu ajri awwalihim." That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, soon there will be a people from the end times of this ummah, from the latter part of this nation, this community, this ummah, they will be given similar reward to the first people of this ummah. they will be given reward like the earlier people of this ummah, like the Sahaba, etc. Why? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because they will enjoin good and they will prohibit from evil. وَيُقَاتِلُونَ أَهْلَ الْفِتَنِ. And they will fight with the people who cause fitna. Now this fighting could be in many different versions. People causing fitna, you're helping to solve the matter for them. You're helping to resolve the issues for them. There's many, many manifestations of this. But the one thing which we are losing from our community because of individualism is that people are now not concerned about what other people are doing. We look the other way. If you see your own friend sometime doing the wrong thing, you have no ability to say, brother, we shouldn't do this. Nasiha is gone from this ummah. In fact, one of the poets, he said, they don't want us to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. When everybody stops doing it, then nobody will tell anybody anything. Then everybody's free to do as much evil as possible. So today you see your friend's children doing something wrong, you don't have the guts to say anything. Because your friend or that child's father will come and say, why are you speaking about my children? Number one, we don't have any wisdom in the way we correct people. And number two, we're not willing to accept any kind of criticism. When that happens, then this brings about degeneration of the ummah. I remember there were two people sitting, both alims. And one sat there and then the other one there. One person ate very quickly. The other one was visiting. He said, Sheikh, what I want to mention to you, if you don't mind, you eat too fast and that's bad for you. And the person said, Jazakallahu khairan. Can you say that to somebody? He said, Jazakallahu khairan. He says, look, I'm saying this with all sincerity. Right? He said that and the other person said, Jazakumullahu khairan. On another occasion, the one was with the other one and the other one hadn't finished. He'd left a few grains of rice, etc. in his plate, as many people do. So, Sheikh, I think it's a good idea if you clean that up. We shouldn't leave anything. He said, Jazakallah for reminding me. People know, but they just need a friendly reminder. Today what happens is, if somebody comes and tells me something, I will try to think of 10 things about what I know of him, and immediately, on the defensive, I will start saying, but you do this, you do this, you do this. And we shouldn't do that. When I was an imam, the other imam once came and told me that I just want to mention a few things to you. Now there's about five things there's five criticisms I have of my fellow imam, which I haven't been able to tell him yet at that point. He came and he said to me, Sheikh, you do this, that and the other. And I said, Jazakallah khairan, I agree with this one, this is my reason for doing so. Now I did not tell him, and I also want to mention five things about you. At that time it would be the wrong time to do it. I accepted what he said and I thanked him. This is the nasiha. We have to be able to do this, but on a nice way, with sincerity. That is how you'll get the mercy. That is how the ummah will stay up. Final two narrations to give us more optimism. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith related by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad from Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طُوبَى لِمَنْ رَآنِي وَآمَنَ بِي. Glad tidings for the one who saw me and believed in me. Somebody who sees me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, like the Sahaba, and they believed in me. Glad tidings for him. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he never forgets this ummah, subhanallah. He never forgets us. He said, وَطُوبَى سَبْعَ مَرَّاتٍ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَرَوْنِي لِمَنْ لَمْ يَرَوْنِي وَآمَنَ بِي. Seven times glad tidings for the ones who have not seen me, for the one who has not seen me but still believes in me. This is the thought of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is his love for his ummah, the progeny of his ummah. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not allow the angel to destroy the people in Ta'if? Because he said that their future generations will become believers. That's the thought of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final hadith, Imam Tirmidhi relates in a sound chain, hadithun hasan. Bahz ibn Hakim relates that from his father and grandfather, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there's a verse in the Quran, kuntum khayru umma ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of nations. This is what Allah says. You are the best of nations that have been extracted for the people. Because ta'muru al-ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving tafsir of this verse, he says, antum tutimmuna 70 ummatan. You are completing 70 nations from before you. You are at the end of 70 nations. And then he said, wa antum khayruha wa akramuha 'ala Allah. You are the best of them, the choicest of them, and most noble of them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought about us. And subhanallah, living in this country with all the government attacks and the media attacks on us and so on and so forth, we sometimes feel a bit insecure, vulnerable. Some people begin to question their faith. Is it worth being a Muslim? There's people who are on the fringe. This causes a lot of commotion for them. Recently, I had the opportunity to go and visit Muslims in West Africa, in Mauritania and Senegal. And I have to say, subhanallah, the believers I saw there, it gave me great hope that we're not alone. You see the African Muslims there, and subhanallah, the kind of iman that they have, it uplifted my spirits. It gave me a new breath of life in a sense. New sense of optimism. We have huge amounts of people who are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them related to me from one of their pious and greatest ulama of the last 40 years. Sheikh Ibrahim Niyas. He related one statement of his. The Sheikh Ibrahim used to say, Inni la ara al mihan wa ara fi tayyiha al minan. That I see many trials and tribulations, but in the fold and inside, wrapped up in these trials and tribulations, I see great bounties and gifts. And subhanallah, with what is happening in the recent times, it has opened up the Muslim community to behave better with their neighbors. How many Muslims have now started worrying about homeless people? How many Muslim communities and masajid have now started worrying about what the politicians are saying? How many have they started talking about feeding the poor, gathering food for people and helping people out? It's a time for us to wake up. Allah is only going to change us if we try to change. That's why my final dua is that, oh Allah, you grant us your mercy, you show us the way ahead, and you take us out of these times into much better times. And show us the right way ahead. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khairan for, I'm extremely honored to be here. Jazakallah for this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take this masjid from strength to strength. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.